Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Just a quick disclaimer, this episode was recorded pre-pandemic. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. Today, we are talking to two ladies about their journey to parenthood as a same-sex couple, specifically what the process has been like for them using a sperm donor, how they've decided to conceive. You guys, my heart is racing because I need you to meet two of my very, very, very close friends, Leslie Hedlund and her stunning, talented, brilliant wife, Rebecca Henderson, and they are both stunning and talented and beautiful and brilliant. So you guys have a little backstory. Leslie Hedlund and I go way, way, way back to when we were like different people. It was NYU theater days. I starred in plays that she directed. We also starred in plays together.
Yes.
The first play I ever like took my top off and had my parents sitting in the front row, Leslie Hedlund directed.
I directed that. Yeah, I made that happen.
Yeah, you did. And I will remember it forever because I feel so cool. Like I got such good
street
cred.
It was a cool show.
It was great.
It was a cool show.
Leslie and I moved out to LA around the same time, and my theater company, IAMA, produced some of her plays, and her brilliant writing is what put us on the map. You guys know her as a playwright, a screenwriter, a director. She's best known for her 2012 film Bachelorette and 2015 film Sleeping with Other People. She also, you guys, co-created the Netflix hit series Russian Doll, along with Natasha Lyonne and Amy Poehler.
It's starring Rebecca Henderson.
Here we go. Her gorgeous, amazing wife, Rebecca Henderson, starred in many off-Broadway plays, Manhunt, Westworld. She single-handedly brought back overalls as Lizzie in Russian Doll. That is true.
That's so true.
Also, the dildo scene is something I will forget never. It's incredible.
Never.
Guys, watch Russian Doll. It's amazing, and your work in it is amazing, Rebecca. So we're talking to you guys in process, which I think is really important because a lot of our listeners are actively trying to get pregnant, and like Katie's Crib would like to be in process with you guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
we'd love to be in process with you.
Okay.
Since I've heard every episode.
Aw, thank you. I want to start with a little backstory. How'd you guys meet?
Oh, it's such a good story.
It is?
Yeah, it's
a
really—
I don't think I know this.
Do you not know the story?
Oh, tell.
It's a good one.
Well, Leslie doesn't remember the first time we met.
Nope.
But, okay, the briefest, I mean, it's a long story, but the shortest version is I was at karaoke with one of my best friends. I was singing Because the Night, Patti Smith, and Leslie walked in the room, and I literally thought, that is the most gorgeous lesbian I've ever seen. And then I thought, she's going to be my wife. And I had goosebumps in the middle of the song.
I
had goosebumps over
right
my
now.
Entire body. And then in walked her boyfriend, and I was like, no problem. And I also had a boyfriend at the time. No problem. And my boyfriend and I were together for like a year or so longer. And then when we broke up, I just couldn't get her out of my mind. And we have a lot of mutual friends. And I was like, everyone tell Leslie I have a crush on her. Like, get the word out. And they did. And Leslie was like, who? What?
No. I knew who Rebecca was. I was a big fan of her work.
Hello.
And I thought she was so beautiful.
Oh, my God.
And,
clearly.
You know, you've known me since college. I've definitely slept with women and been interested in women. But I had never – Rebecca struck me as a person, like, if you're going to date her, you date her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
like, you don't,
the real fucking
you don't
deal.
Go in there and, like, fuck around and then leave.
No.
So,
which is kind of
everyone's
kind scared of,
like,
of me.
It was kind of I get that. No, she's just the real deal.
She's the real deal. So it was like my MO with dating women up until that point had been very like hit it and quit it and like run away screaming. So, so when this information was coming to me, I kind of thought, well, I think whenever I approach this person or kind of reciprocate with this person, I should be like ready to like date her.
Yeah.
And so I kind of put it off for a little bit.
Well, because timing's everything.
Yeah, I kind of was like, I want to get my, my ex and I had just broken up and, you know, I
tied
just
that
moved
up
back to New York. Like, yeah, it was like, I want to kind of get everything going. So,
but do you remember one of the first times we saw each other after you heard I had a crush on you? The first thing she said to me is, my sister thinks I'm gay. Like out of nowhere. She didn't say, hey, Rebecca, Leslie, like, let's re-meet. She just said, my sister thinks I'm gay. And I was like, like, I don't know.
You guys.
That's so funny.
So when you started dating, I feel like it got, I mean.
Yeah, so like 6 months later, we finally started dating. She finally asked me out.
And I feel like word traveled fast. Like, because you guys were in New York and in LA, it reached us pretty quickly that this was fucking serious.
Yeah.
Like, it was.
I'm glad it felt serious to you because, to me, Leslie was like, we'd hang out like on a Saturday. Our first day was like on a Saturday. I was like, when can I see you again? You know, I'm expecting the lesbian move, which is like, you know, the next day.
Yeah.
She was like, next Sunday for breakfast. I was like, the fuck? next Sunday? You want me to wait 7 days?
She says dating me was trying to catch a pigeon.
Trying to hold a pigeon.
Oh, my God.
But she was making her movie, so anyway, we started very slow. And
but this is a good segue, though, because we did talk about, I think that one of the reasons it became kind of serious kind of fast was that we did talk about what we wanted, you know, out of a relationship. And, like, we were very, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I honestly had never wanted kids.
Like, I know. I feel like I've never heard that from you
never.
Until now, which is,
yeah.
like, such an amazing thing.
And you
thing.
Know why? Because one of the last guys I ever, you know, slept with, like, mm-hmm. had a relationship with was mm-hmm. like, oh, do you want kids? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, not with men.
Right.
To me, the idea of even, you know, accidentally getting pregnant with a male partner was, like, terrifying.
Sure.
I was just like, no. I'm not stopping anything that I'm doing. Like, yes, my female friends were having children, having careers, but they were also, I mean—
I'm sorry.
You told me that story about the ratio of work that's done by same-sex couples versus hetero couples.
Oh,
I actually
God.
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
If you find that statistic, tell me what it is. We'll list it in the Katie's Crib notes.
I think it was more of the ratio of, like, how homosexual couples get along versus heterosexual couples.
Yeah.
That was, like, the thing that
it was statistic.
It was an amazing podcast because homosexual couples, they deal with things so much better than heterosexual couples. It's like they blow them out of the water. Even the best heterosexual couples,
I believe it.
They do not communicate and get over things and deal with things the way that homosexual couples do.
I believe that. So
listen,
you guys are going to be fucking
completely
amazing ass.
I hope so. We're very nervous
unfounded,
about
unfounded statistics.
Oh, my God.
We're nervous.
I've never seen two more prepared people. When you guys come over to play with Albie, it's like, goodbye, I'm leaving.
Give us Albie. I mean, so, if we can take Albie today, that'd be great.
Did you both say to each other, so, Leslie, you had always known you weren't going to have a kid. You were going to go hardcore with career.
I figured,
and then
yeah.
In walks Rebecca. Rebecca, did you know you wanted to have?
Always wanted to be a mom since I was very young. Wanted to be a nun at a very young age and, like, run an orphanage. I've always known that I was going to have children. Only in the past year have I been like, let's really think about this. Let's really think about the planet and the state that things are in the world and think about the extraordinary measures we're going to go to make this baby and really consider adoption, all these things, which we're going to get into. But
yeah,
more than ever, I've been like, what if it's just us? I also adore being with Leslie. And even though we've been together for 6 years now, I still feel like we're newlyweds and I love being alone with her. And I value that time so much.
That's
you and Adam
so
are
sweet. 13
great...
years in.
But you and Adam.
And I just was like, do I feel that way? And I was like, yeah.
But
I
think you guys hit a great balance of togetherness and with the baby and everything.
Yeah.
So that's good to see. But
you mean like spending some time together before you have a third part of this family?
Yes.
Although you have pets that are like your babies.
And I have friends who just have not managed that well. And it's been, you know, they're the end of their marriages.
Gulp.
Okay. And that's our podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, guys,
good
so
luck,
much for
everyone.
Tuning in. Good luck. Oh, God. The divorce rate is at 60% or something like that. Tell me about the conversations and coming to terms with your first stages of like, okay, let's have a baby. Because you guys, when I first started talking to you guys about this, it was very clear. You're carrying, I'm not,
oh, yeah.
we want
oh, yeah.
a girl, this is how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys knew, like, were your choices just obvious to you, and that was what you wanted? Like, take me through how you've gotten to the sperm donor.
So, I mean...
So many casual conversations that sort of led to action.
So, a lot of casual conversations. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like within our community of lesbian couples,
yeah.
mm-hmm. that anonymous donors were preferred
yes.
because you then
you two making the family,
you two making another. The family, not another, you know, person.
Sure.
Yes, we have a lot of friends who have donor
that are known.
Anonymous donor.
Oh.
No, anonymous.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
If there is a known donor, do you guys know this? Is it like an adoption, how it works, where adoption, you can have an open or closed adoption where that person is or isn't involved? So
I guess you can make whatever decision you want with your known donor
okay,
and
great.
Sign whatever paperwork.
So you had heard that anonymous was really healthy for other lesbian
yeah.
couples you are around.
Yeah, they liked it.
Yeah, everybody seemed to be, you know, giving that the thumbs up and saying, like, it's, you know, legally, it's cleaner.
Sure.
Like, you know, you just don't, like, I don't
they
know.
They were always saying, you never think about
you
the
never
anonymous
think about,
donor. It's
yeah.
just your child. And I was like, that's attractive.
That's very attractive.
Interesting.
But other people think about it. Other people are like, who's the donor for this kid? What's that? That doesn't look like something. You know, other people think about it. But when it's your own child, you don't think about it. That's what we've heard.
That was the feedback.
Okay, so Leslie got injured one day and we were in the hospital. You had to get an x-ray or something. And we were like, let's look at the cryobank. So we like opened up, I think it was California Cryobank. We opened up the cryobank and we were like, let's just start filling. We're sitting there. We're killing time.
We were killing like hours
incredible.
Of time.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, let's start filling. You start filling out the paperwork. You're like, what do you want? What's the height, ethnicity, college
eye
level
color.
Education, everything, like their background. So we started filling it out because we decided that Leslie was going to carry. We decided.
Well, how'd that decision come up? Because that is not what I would think.
I know.
Because we're sitting here. One says, oh, I never thought about being a mom until Rebecca came along, which I love for you. And Rebecca's like, I've always been a caretaker.
To me,
it's all about balance.
To me, it seemed like a no-brainer because, which I know, it's like now that you say that back, I'm like, yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense. And we're still talking about it. I mean, that's the other thing, too. We haven't completely decided. But at the time when we were looking it up, I was going to carry because I'm the breadwinner for our family.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
And then...
LOL.
But I also kind of think of myself as an artist as kind of a conduit. I want to build a rib inside my body.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to build a penis.
Right.
I think that would be amazing.
Hey, oh, my God.
To build a penis with my body.
It was weird.
Holy God.
It was crazy.
You know what I don't want to do? Play with drugs. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's the worst.
Like, I don't like, it's what's funny is, like, weirdly, pregnancy 100% appeals
excites
to me.
You. Sure.
Motherhood does not.
Sure. Like, got it.
So to me, it made sense that because I have a natural... My partner's essentially a natural caretaker, I call her a born camp counselor. I mean, she just is.
She truly
the way that she takes
is.
Care of our house and our animals and me and every, like, it's the extension of that is going to be, you know.
Incredible.
Listen, I don't mean to put that pressure on her. She can have whatever feeling she has once the baby comes. But to me, it felt like, oh, well, then obviously I should be the person that creates organs.
But also gets to experience that.
That you're hardwired into the baby because I will love any baby. You bring a baby to my house, that's my baby now.
But if I'm looking at a baby and there's
I'm
a baby.
I'm going to bring Albie over there.
And there's a baby. Like, it's like, in a way, it's funny. Now that I'm thinking about it, too, I feel this way, with the exception of Iama. Do you know what I mean? Like, and people that I've known for a really long time. Most of the time, my collaborators, I don't really... You know, I form intense bonds with, but then I don't really continue those, you know, relationships afterwards. Like, I don't really think so. To me, that level of dependency from a small, you know, sack of fluids that then turns into a sack of like flesh and then becomes like a sentient being.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've done this for 20 years. Like, I know how to give this intense amount of energy toward this tiny person,
which is pregnancy and labor, which is like,
and I don't want any part of that. I don't.
So I might do it,
but I don't want to. So I do think that we are attempting to strike a balance and control something that we have no control over. But that did seem like a good idea. A baby that maybe looked like Leslie, that she was hardwired into, that I spent most of the days with while she's shooting, you know, insane days.
I love this plan. I think this is a great birth plan.
Cut to me and the baby run off together. I don't care where I got the baby.
Oh, yeah. If you were like me, which was like, I'm also like work and I have a similar schedule to Leslie and like
I'm obsessed with Albie, but now
I felt no connection at first.
Oh,
I was like, bye, getting on a plane, changing my identity. Adam was like, I'm going to be everything to this child because my wife is leaving and going to find a European boyfriend and never come home. I still think about that sometimes. Leslie's carrying. Rebecca is the caretaker for when the baby gets brought
home. That's the plan. So when we're filling out the form, we're sort of choosing.
At the cryobank.
Yeah, we are picking both of our heritages. But we're sort of filling out a little bit more me-centric so that, you know, which lesbian couples do a lot, so that the baby kind of looks like both of us. It's crazy.
See, guys, who would know that? So when you're filling out the stuff, you guys knew you wanted...
We didn't know what we wanted. We were literally just having fun. We've approached a lot of it with, like, a lot of levity and, like, no panic and no, like, this has to happen right now.
I love that.
The funny part of the story is the result of what happens after we plug in all these things. But, like, this was our first round at it. Like, I think people should make whatever choices they feel is right. I mean, our first... Literally looking at each other and going, how does one do this?
Right.
Our first instinct was, well, why don't we just fill out stuff that's us?
Yes.
Like, let's just fill out, like, our, you know, education level, our ethnicity, like, our eye color, our, you know, like, let's just do us and favoring Rebecca and see what happens.
Right.
One guy came back.
Yes. So normally 4 to 7 guys come up. One person
to the floor.
Came back. And we were like, oh, weird. One guy came up. Click.
What does this cost? Is this thing expensive?
I think it's a couple hundred bucks.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So just to like register, is that the word?
To register and certain levels of the access that you get to this person. You can see baby pictures, ages like 6 months, 6 years old and 12.
What did this dude
get
paid?
You can't see...
Like, what does a sperm donor get paid?
I think they get around $20,000, I think, for the first. But it's they have to go through a lot. They go through all of their medical history. Right. It's a big thing.
Right. So you have access to his entire medical history. If there's, like, cancer in his family, Alzheimer's. Yeah.
You can listen to his voice.
Stuff. Yeah, we listen to his handwriting. With him.
Oh, I need to hear all that.
Yeah.
So one dude comes back.
And the funny thing is that, like, a week earlier, Leslie's friends with this actor. And a week earlier, she was like, ugh, why can't we just use him? And I was like, well, because he's married to someone and they have children and we're not using him. Like, no, it's not an option.
Right.
And he's a relatively famous actor. And something that they do at the cryobank is that the nurses sort of assign celebrity lookalikes to the donors.
So not the donors. They don't pick it out.
Like, some nurse will say, like, you're the, if you know, Christian Bale and this person had a baby.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
This person.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. And so,
This guy looks like so.
Yes, and it's so you have like a sort of reference point for.
Because you don't see them older. You only see them as their baby pictures.
You cannot get an older picture.
Why? Yeah.
So because that you can't recognize them on the street.
Good Lord.
And if this 20-year-old guy has donated his specimen and then he becomes like a famous person at 35, maybe he doesn't want to know, you know. So anyway, we go down and look at the celebrity lookalike. And it's Leslie's friend. It's literally the guy that she suggested. It's not actually him, but it's a lookalike to him. So we were like,
nailed it.
Literally,
like, oh my God.
Yeah, we screamed and we bought all the sperm.
And we click on the actor. We click on the actor lookalike to see if there are other people
the only one. The only one in the system who looks like this person who a week earlier she'd been like, I want to have this baby.
Yeah. You know, like, and so
we bought all of his sperm.
All of his sperm.
We spent $10,000. They price it differently.
And how is that, like, a bucket? Like, how much?
Yeah, you just get a bucket right to the house.
You get a bucket sent to the house.
It's actually, I don't know all the details, but you can have depending on how much
to spend.
Yes, it's a vial, but some of the vial can only be used for IUI, which is when they put the sperm directly in your uterus, and some of the sperm can only be used for IVF.
To be mixed in a petri dish with your.
Where they take one sperm out and put it into your egg. Yeah, so it depends on how much it is. So we bought.
IUI option.
We bought literally all of it.
Oh, so you bought whatever.
We didn't want anybody having this.
Yes, and he's already had.
We took him off the market.
But he's already had successful pregnancies.
He has.
Yeah,
five, I think.
So if you were to get pregnant with his sperm, your baby would have
dibblings.
Is that what it's called?
Donor?
Dibblings.
Is that what it's called?
I
not,
so,
you've heard it here first. Hashtag dibblings.
Donor sibling.
So you buy all the sperm. It gets delivered to your house.
No, God, no.
You have it in your fridge.
It's like Jurassic Park. It's like inside that shaving cream can.
Yeah.
It's held at the cryobank, and and you pay for storage. And then when you want to use it, it gets sent to your fertility clinic, and it's thawed.
Great.
Sent to your house.
So wait. Now
it's, just at our
it's
house.
Sent to your house, and you can
imagine?
Do with it what you want.
Every time we open the freezer, we're like, fuck.
Now...
You gotta get going. But you can. You can. Like, I have friends who had a baby this way.
And so this dude has no more sperm left in the cryobank?
No.
No, but you know what you can do? You can sell sperm back. So if we've actually moved on.
Like,
we've moved on from this
choice,
donor.
Right.
And so we can sell it back at half price. And then somebody else who has a sibling,
so
a dibbling out there.
You'll get $5,000 back.
Exactly. And somebody else who has a dibbling and wants more of this specimen can then buy it and they can have an alert set up. It's a whole world. We could do a whole podcast.
Yeah. You can get guys to come out of retirement.
What do you mean?
Like if you
really want a sibling and you love your kids so much, you can pay them a shitload of money to give you more sperm to make a sibling.
You can like fly them somewhere and be like, donate.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, but we're
but here also, just quickly, I think it's funny that we're doing this with somebody that knew me in college because this is what I'm doing to get sperm.
I know. It's like Leslie Lynn has no problem getting sperm. Who cares? I know. Sorry.
But
this was art college.
You spend your whole life trying not to get pregnant, and then you're like,
I know.
And then I'm like, $10,000 on something I got for free didn't want.
In buckets.
And this is also a good segue, I think, into known versus unknown donor, because what you're paying for with the anonymous donor is all of that medical history. You know, you're paying for not having to talk to him.
No, that's
huge. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
it's like you're paying for the knowledge of, you know, the security that, you know, it's
going exactly how you want to it to go.
But it's very rigorous.
You know,
put them through.
And you're very like,
And they're like 20-year-olds that donate. So it's like healthy, young, blah, blah, blah.
Healthy, yeah. young sperm.
Yes.
So tell me now, you take the sperm and now you guys have done the IUI process. Is that
just
correct?
Just twice.
Yeah.
And what
and,
is
and
that?
And it was years ago. IUI is when you
you're ovulating, you go to a doctor.
You take hormones for 5 days. Uh-huh. It makes your eggs all like
happy.
One or two in there, yeah. And then you go into the doctor and they put something into your uterus and they put the sperm directly into your uterus.
Are you put out for this process?
No. They just stick it up me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like a catheter.
No, it's like a catheter.
It's like a little cramp.
It's a little crampy, yeah, because it's a catheter that they you know, guide up there, yeah. and then they go literally right on top of your egg, and
oh
they just go,
God.
Boop, you know, and then.
And they know exactly the day you're ovulating, or because yes. they gave you 5 days of hormones before, they can
it's
measure
that.
The timing.
You take a trigger shot the night before, and it forces the ovulation.
What are the odds? I will list.
It generally takes people, it depends. If you have they don't know, because some people have problems, some people don't have problems. A lot of the studies are done in heterosexual couples who can't get pregnant, so right. there's no statistics for us.
Right.
But from a lot of people we know, it's taken 5 to 6 times of this. It's $5,000 every
pop.
Time. Yeah, and you have to take hormones each time.
And none of this is covered by insurance.
Not for us.
Not for us, no.
Right. We've talked about this. I have this listed
here. We can't prove that
that we have troubles. To determine if they'll pay for treatment, insurers typically use the medical definition of infertility, trying to conceive by having unprotected sex for 12 months without success for those under 35. That
yeah,
definition thereby excludes same-sex couples from any sort of coverage.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can get a super bill and then hand it in.
You can't. You know what? If we had decided to go through IUI 5 to 6 times and not had success, then I think you can get some coverage. But we, because of Leslie's insane schedule, we were actually doing that right before Russian Doll started shooting. It became impossible to continue with the IUIs. We couldn't be pumping her up full of hormones and then sending her to set.
Right. And then taking the days set that you needed to,
yeah, absolutely.
To get to the
getting to and from that doctor, you know, like
it was so crazy.
Oh, it's so, yeah, it's just insane. And so then we thought that I would do it. I was like, fuck it, let's do it. And then something that we learned during that, as soon as we did it, Leslie, both times, she was like, she started to feel very weird about what we had just put inside her and who it was. This is just something that came out of her mouth.
And I don't think it's for everybody at
sure.
all, you know, like, but for some reason I was like, who is this?
Yes.
Like, I was like...
And it kind of scared her.
That's crazy.
It kind of creeped me out, I have to say. Like, and it was not something I thought of at all when we were looking at sperm.
It didn't come up for you until it was actually
yes.
someone else's.
Because what they do is they hold it in front of me and they go, does this number match your donor number? Like, so I'm looking at a vial
this
of.
This is a fucking yeah. sci-fi movie.
And we were both like, ew.
And I was like, yeah, that's the right number. Ew. Covered in it when I was 18.
Yeah, but
and
now.
For some reason, now I can't. And for some reason, now I can't. I
ew.
Don't want to see it again.
Yeah, ever
I don't want to see it again. I don't want to see.
No, but then she felt weird, you know, and I was like, well, it's inside, so.
But it didn't feel, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't think there's anything wrong with having an anonymous
donor. Of
course not. I think I'd still be open to talking about it. It's just both those times I felt fucking strange.
Yes.
And so then you decided, Rebecca, that you
yes.
were going to carry.
Yeah. I was like, why don't I try, you know, like I'm was shooting Russian Doll, but like, you know, I didn't have.
You had a much more
I'm wearing overalls
schedule.
On the show. Yes,
sure.
Exactly. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try. I'm like, fuck it, you know, and I really don't want to be pregnant.
Right.
But I was like, when I see my pregnant friends, I'm like, what? It's incredible. So for the experience of it, I'm like, okay, I begin the hormones. And you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Leslie couldn't leave the room without me weeping.
Aww.
I was hysterical. I called every person I knew with a baby and I was like, you love your child, right?
Yeah.
You love your baby. Like I couldn't.
It's not a good mix for you.
I guess not.
I know.
I was like pounding those hormones.
You felt you were fine.
I was like, let's fucking do this.
Into the
yeah.
Hulk.
I did
once.
Turn into the Hulk. A couple times, I
yeah.
feel like I turned into
but
the Hulk.
But I went really crazy, so that did not sit well with me. And I started to think, I really started to think, I don't want this at all. Like, it's something that I felt my whole life, that I was destined to be a mother. I was like, no. And then when it came time to give me the trigger shot, I didn't do, and I didn't go in.
So you did 5 days of hormones, and you were like, fuck this. This is horrible.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, I'm going. Like, they actually scheduled a shoot day around me, and then I didn't go. I was like, I'm not doing it. I was like, I'm going to get pregnant with twins. I don't want this. It was crazy. So I didn't go.
Me sitting here, you guys, I just, like, really want you to get pregnant. I mean, selfishly
I
for Katie's crib so I can hear about the whole thing, but also because, like, I can't wait to raise our children together. I don't know
oh,
what I mean.
Yeah.
If
like,
we were straight,
already...
we would have a baby already, for
of
sure.
Course.
That's what's
so
kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, that's the thing that I found in our journey that's so bizarre is that, like, I've never you know, it's like so many conversations. We're having so many conversations about it and so many decisions.
And then you look like knocked up at 16 or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck?
And we're just like, look, we have a lot of friends that have gone through a similar journey because of their fertility, mm-hmm. you know,
stuff.
You know,
sure.
So it's not like what we're doing is not the norm for some straight couples, especially for older women. Mm-hmm. But it is crazy that in order for us to have a child,
we need to get sperm. We spend
have
$40,000.
Jump over
spend
a shitload
so
of hurdles.
So much fucking money. And then we have to, and we have to jump on so many hurdles. And we have to like have 75,000 conversations. And I have to say, you know, we had a terrible experience with one of our, you know, initial clinics that we were using because after a while it felt like, do you guys think we haven't thought about this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to describe it.
Have you come
babe.
Up against any people who judge you or, like, has there been any sort of, like, same-sex judgment on this whole thing from friends or professionals? Like, has there been any sort of, I mean, you guys are in New York and LA, so I don't know.
I mean, sometimes I have some of my own judgment, which I assume.
That's true.
When I'm talking to other people that it's probably crossing their mind as well. Just like, why are we going to these lengths when there are so many children, you know, mm-hmm. in the foster care system and who need to be adopted on this planet? And, you know, you can't help but think about climate change and what's going on right now. And bringing another tiny asshole into this world just seems
totally.
Like, you know.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, why are we trying to get our genetic material to continue? Like, what, you know?
Because we're hardwired to do it. I mean, it's like I used to talk about this with Guillermo Diaz all the time because I got pregnant in between Trump's election and inauguration, and it was basically like the end of the world. And also, I knew 11 people that got pregnant within the same 6-week span. So
sure,
I don't
people were like, hold
we
me.
We were like, like, I don't know if we were making a liberal army or we were like fucking just I think we were really fucking depressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a major question. But I also feel like, oh God, there's like literally, I'm so fucking grateful I have him
yes.
right now during this
yes.
shitstorm.
And like, I would never judge a person for having a baby. You know, it's just,
yeah.
it's more because we need so much intervention. One homophobic like thing that a family member said to us that I can't get out of my head is we sort of said that we wanted to have a girl. And that person said like, that's a good idea because little boys need their fathers.
Oh, you've got
and I, it's gone around in my head and my heart in such a painful way.
Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
And it makes me want to have about 6 boys.
Yeah.
Tell
fuck
you to
yeah.
go fuck yourself.
I mean, truly, just the idea. I so much of it is internal for me as well. It's just like when we're sitting there and someone is mansplaining fertility to me, like I just have these moments where I'm like, I think it's just really drilled into all of us as Americans mm-hmm. that there is a particular type of family, mm-hmm. which is a man and a woman mm-hmm. and 2.5 kids.
Yep.
And that essentially, not to get into too much feminist theory, but like essentially most of our economy is sort of based on this idea. Unless women are, you know, ready and willing and able to provide essentially free domestic labor for mm-hmm. men, mm-hmm. you know, how are we going to continue making money and propagating more Americans? I was just reading an article this morning that said since the mid-90s, the population of the United States has increased by 2 Texases, 60 million people. What I keep reminding myself is that this is not a moral issue. This is not like a biological issue. This is money. People make comments, ignorant comments like that because mm-hmm. they have been told by, you know, essentially a government and a corporations that that's what a family looks like.
Yeah.
And they feel really good about themselves when they get to say, like, little boys need their fathers. Or like, it's so good that you guys are thinking about using a known donor so that he can be involved. And it's like, do you know how many people are out there that don't have relationships with their fathers, who are raised
God.
By single moms,
or
who
have
are raised
terrible
by,
relationships
oh
with their
God.
Abusive,
or have, like,
crazy
you know,
fathers
like,
or
the,
whatever
the reality
is.
Versus the ideal, the quote-unquote ideal
sure.
in this country
sure.
is that most women are raising children by themselves anyway.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the idea that, like, there's a man, there's a woman, and that's the best way to raise a family.
Oh, God.
It's like, I mean, sorry, no offense, but I don't think that's the best way to raise
a
family.
Don't
I don't know. And I think the only reason we think it's the norm is because we've been told over and over again by people who are making money off of us, basically. You know, like, you know, and that's not to negate anyone's, like, love for each other or any of that kind of stuff. It's just that, you know, if you read anything like, you know, Sex at Dawn or, like, any of the ways that we've, like, evolved mm-hmm. as a species, mm-hmm. you know, most child-rearing ideas were it takes a village.
I'm sorry that family member said that to you.
Oh, it's just
first and foremost.
Tip of the iceberg.
And
we'll get into it more next time.
Yeah. It hasn't changed your mind that you guys want a girl.
We just want a girl because girls are amazing.
Women are fucking incredible.
Yeah. We might have a girl and then a boy. Like, we haven't, you know, who knows?
But it's like because there's so many choices that have to go into us planning our family that the fact that we do have the option to exercise, you know, because in Canada, you can't choose the gender.
Really?
As far as I know, you can. I haven't looked into it, but I think you can.
That's wild. Like, I'm sure there are people out there picking eye color and all of those things, which you.
I don't think you can. Oh. I think that's illegal. I'm pretty sure somebody just went to jail in China for messing with the DNA. There's a doctor in China made three children who cannot get HIV, and he's in prison.
Whoa.
You have to build a special probe to go in and, like, fuck with the DNA. I'm sure I don't know what I'm talking about, but something like that.
Well, I don't either. Yeah. So it sounds like you fucking know, which is great.
So you can
Thanks
pick
for being on Katie's crib.
You can pick the healthiest.
Give me all information.
You can pick the healthiest embryos from testing, but you can't test gender you can test, but you can't test whether or not, I don't know,
right.
anything else. Also, where, like, what is gender?
I mean, well that's the whole thing.
I have a good friend who has a child who's
of course.
Trans.
I mean, that's of course. I mean, we are.
So we're going to, like, pick a girl, and she's
and
like, I'm a boy.
Boy.
We're like,
oh,
sorry.
Here we are.
Okay.
In process, I can't even fucking wait. We were out to dinner the other night, and what did, Leslie, you said, like, your two fears of
my
your,
two fears
of having
of
a girl?
Too. I was like, my two fears of having a girl, like,
the
you
only
know,
two things that would freak you out.
Yeah.
Trans doesn't freak you out.
Trans
Nothing fucking freaks you out.
Does not freak me out. You know, you think about the generation before us. You know, it's like, oh, you're going to have such a hard life, you know, if you're trans or you're gay and like blah, blah.
No.
You know,
she brings home a boyfriend.
If she brings home a man 25 years older than her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or an operating system that she's in love with. You know what I mean?
Those
like
are
if she's in love with a robot or if she's in love with a man who's 25 years older than her. Disowned. Disowned. don't even bother coming home tonight. You go and think about what you've done.
Amazing.
Like, those are the things I can't get behind. I don't know if I can.
And we've all done it.
I have a relationship with my computer. It's
yes.
Fine.
And I had dated an old man.
Oh, great. Tell me about a little bit where you're at now so that when we touch base with you in hopefully, what, a year?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
hoping.
Please.
Gotta be more
where
than
are you guys
months.
At right now? You're, thinking about adoption possibly.
Well,
yes,
no, the next step that we're in is with a known donor. That's
okay.
where we are now.
Right.
And
yeah.
so we're in kind of an early stage of getting all the blood test, all the testing that needs to happen.
And what made you change your mind about that was that you met someone who you like and enjoy and is in your life and offered it up.
He was like, this is how I see it. You're flying the plane and I'm the stewardess in the back serving drinks. And we were like, perfect. Because we, you know,
I do think that, like, listen, when you use a known donor and we are still going through the process of
if this is going to happen.
If this is going to work.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of legal stuff, truly. Like, we all have to go
all
to lawyers. We all have to go to therapists.
So it's a whole other fee.
Baggage
fees
and money.
So much money.
And there's more money. And there's
money
more
money for this sperm.
Yeah. It isn't as simple as, like, you would think, you know, actually, I think in a way, an unknown donor, an anonymous sperm donor is...
It is easier.
Easier. And that is why I think we got that feedback.
But when we started to think about the child and our child, we would like them to have the option to know where they came from, that part of themselves.
But who's the plan to carry now?
Still same, Leslie.
Still same.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've also started to enter... We've talked about all of it. We've entertained a surrogate. Leslie's, new job is insane. Like,
insane.
Are we going to put a baby in her? Like... I don't know. Overthinking
you're,
I'm sure.
You're kind of seeing us at a point where I think we're pivoting in a way.
You're at a big crossroads is what I feel.
Yeah.
You're at a big crossroads.
Because we were going down that road with the anonymous donor and the IUI. And
now we're like IVF with a known donor, but now I'm really busy as well. Like things
it's all fluctuating.
So maybe surrogate is a great
option. And maybe it could be you. And that's
we're
why we're here today.
We're doing a surrogacy.
To ask you.
this
please,
is how we were going to ask
you.
Please.
I love you, but
You're so selfish.
I can't.
Like, you don't have to take care of it afterwards. You just hand it over.
I mean, it's not even about handing it over. It's just like.
You eat so healthy, though.
I can't. Right now I do, but sometimes I'm like, fuck that.
Such an unknown in the surrogate world.
Any advice you have for same-sex couples that are looking to get pregnant?
I would say, like, be super open. Like, what I'm realizing as we're talking here is that
we're not stressed about this.
As we have come to.
Hey, you guys sound super healthy. I don't know what work you're doing or what you're on, but you sound fucking great.
Maybe we're just scared to really get, like, I don't know. Because I know that when people try, I have known a couple of people who've tried to get pregnant or had a failed IVF or something the first round, and they start to go crazy. So I do think there is something in us where we're like,
You don't want to really grip it too hard.
It's not rational.
Then it's gonna it's not rational. And also, then it really weighs on your relationship and all these kinds of things. So
We're not freaking out until we have to freak out. And also, I think if we can't get pregnant, all this stuff, then we'll adopt or I don't know. We're still just talking about all of
it.
Yeah, because we are, you know, making a family just by default in a quote unquote untraditional way, you know, I don't feel the same pressure I think that like a straight woman would feel, which is like motherhood look like again, what my paradigm was when
you were growing up.
I was growing up and when I was in my 20s and early 30s. Like, really, it is being very, very open with your partner and very open to the possibilities of like, oh, maybe we do use this type of donor. Maybe we do IUI instead of IVF. Like, whenever something comes up inside me that's like, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's me. I got to look at that. Yeah, like, I got to look at that. Listen. I got to bring that into my therapy. I got to bring that to my partner. It can never be no, never. You know, like, you got to be open and feel like, okay, let's talk about adoption. Let's talk about that. What does that look like? Okay, what's the next actionable step?
And then, and also another reason for doing IVF is you can check the health of the child and there's a lower rate of miscarriage and everything else.
Right.
But just wanna say, it's not just to choose a gender. It is to, looking at Leslie's schedule, which is very intense, to be able to sort of, as best we can, plan when when to do it and when
IVF
the baby will come out.
Could be great.
Yeah,
we have an IVF episode on Katie's Crib.
Okay,
like,
good.
Listen to it, everybody who's listening. Rebecca, advice for same-sex couples trying to get pregnant.
I think what Leslie said. Yeah, I don't think I have any. I don't know. I feel like if you talk to us in like 6 months, then I'll be like this.
I can't wait. We are talking to you in 6 months.
Yeah.
You guys are my in-process study.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I cannot thank you guys enough.
Thanks for having
us. For being on Katie's Crib. I am so honored and joyous to be alongside you as you go through this exciting, exciting journey.
And thank you for being our surrogate.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
How much do they get paid?
It can be a $250,000
thing. Done. Where do I sign?
Let's ask Adam.
Let's do it.
But I think also it can be like $50,000.
No.
So you name your price.
Thank you all for tuning into Katie's Crib and for your beautiful messages and reviews. I absolutely love connecting with you and hearing your stories and questions. So email me at katiescrib@shondaland.com. We may just feature you on an episode, so hit me up. Thanks, guys. Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.